Howdy. It's my favorite liturgical greeting. Howdy. So these verses in verse 31 and 32, after Judas goes out, Jesus said, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Now again, Jesus identifies himself with humanity here. He doesn't refer to himself here as the Son of God. He refers to himself as the Son of Man. That's significant. "Now as the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him, and if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him, the Son of Man, in himself, and will glorify him immediately." Now Jesus has just told them, after that he's about to go somewhere that they can't go. Now, even though Peter messed up a lot, he was still the leader of the group, which is encouraging to me. I mean, Peter cut the guy's ear off. Peter promised he wouldn't deny Jesus, that he would even die before he would deny Jesus, yet he's the one who openly denies him 3 times. And Peter's just, I like that. But Peter, there's something about him that has such a passion for Christ. And because he asked, he says, "Lord, where are you going?" He said, "Look, I'll give up my life to follow you." And Jesus, of course, honors the fact that that's Peter's heart. But he knows until something's dealt with in Peter, pride, he never really would be able to do that. And like we mentioned before, sometimes it's in the context of personal failure that you have your greatest breakthrough. And the Lord's a big boy and he can handle it. He's not religious like us. Thank God. When he gets in verse 1, he talks more about where it is he's going. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, well, believe in me." Because he's there to fulfill God's purposes. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Now, again, if the King James is your favorite version, I hate to ruin this for you, but the word's not mansion. I don't know if there's going to be any mansions in heaven. I don't think you're going to care. The word's abiding place. The same word in John 15. "If you abide in me and I abide in you," that's the word here. "In my Father's house are many abiding places." Now, what did Jesus say in John 15? "If you abide in me." What's the abiding place? Jesus. A place in Jesus. "In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you in me." He'll make that even clearer in just a minute. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So that's the abiding place in Christ, so that where he is, you are also. It's about union. "And you know the way where I'm going." Jesus is like going, you know where this is leading. I mean, Mary Magdalene knew it. She prepared his body for burial. She knew that's where God's love would take him. But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Then Jesus said, here's the point. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life that you need. No one comes to the Father but through me." And so the word "prepare" there is a Greek word that means kind of like in Isaiah, where he talks about bringing the low places up and the high places down, prepare a way for the Lord. The idea of the word here is that you're removing every barrier because royalty is about to pass through. Now hear that. I go to prepare a place for you. The word, the etymology, the origin of that word is you do whatever you have to do, level everything into level, because royalty or king is about to pass. You and I were created for nobility. You and I were created for glory. You and I were created for the Lord to be our abiding place. We were created for union with him. And mankind forfeited that when he chose to do things on his own. Jesus came to restore that to a higher level, that he being the way, he said, I'm the way, I'm the place, I'm the way. In other words, I'm not going to do something for you. I am the something, because I'm going to carry all of your darkness and brokenness to the cross. I'm going to become as you, so that from the, in the resurrection, in me, you can become as me. You won't become me. It's not that, but you can become like me. You can participate in me and in my life, because that's what you were created for. See, that's the sadness about sin. Sin, when the Lord looks at people who are sinning, his disposition isn't one of religion. I'm just so ticked off at those people. I'm holy and they're not holy, and this makes me ticked off. Because we do that all the time. His heart's broken because he sees creatures that were created for glory settling for garbage. It's a heartbreaker. That's why he poured his wrath out on sin. Why didn't he just destroy everybody? Because we were his masterpiece. He created us for him. Now, here's the cool thing. Because I want you to, let me read this verse to you first, if you don't mind. Even if you do, I'm going to read it anyway. Huh? This is talking about the wisdom of the cross, the mystery of the cross. You know, what was going to be the solution to the fall of man was a mystery, hidden for ages. What was God's wisdom going to look like, this solution to fallen man? And the solution was Jesus himself, that in the person of Christ, that which is old, broken, the old self, the fallen humanity would be crucified, and a whole new humanity would be raised up in him. But he says this in verse 6 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, which is passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Wow. To our glory. So let me read those verses to you again. After Judas went out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Jesus was clothed in our humanity, your humanity. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him, the Son of Man, in himself, and will glorify himself immediately. Not only was God glorified in what Jesus accomplished, the redemption of humanity, the great wisdom of God unveiled, the great love of God unveiled, that he didn't pour out his wrath on humanity, he poured out his wrath on humanity's evil. He poured out his wrath on sin, because sin was destroying that which he created in love. But he also glorified humanity in himself and what he accomplished on the cross. In what way? He prepared a way for that which was created for nobility, that which was created as royalty, in the cross, in the person of Christ, for us to be restored to that position of nobility and royalty that we were created for. He didn't come to annihilate us. He came to set us free and to elevate us to that place that we were created for. Hanging in there so far? Listen to what Romans 8 says. Again, about your purpose and my purpose, every Christian's purpose. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he forgave. And for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. That was your purpose. That's your purpose. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That Jesus would have a lot of 20s. And whom he predestined, past tense, these he also called, past tense. And those he called, past tense, these he also justified, past tense. And those whom he justified, past tense, these he also glorified, past tense. We always talk about, well, one day we're going to be glorified, we're going to get a new body. It is true, we're going to get a new glorified body. But you've already been glorified in him. The Son of Man became humanity and put to death the old and raised up a new. This was God's work, and we were glorified in him, and that brings him glory. That's why, guys, he can say things after this, what he said about the glory. Then he looks at them and he says, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. So I said, Jews, you won't find me where I'm going. Then he immediately says, but a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Now, how is that possible? That is really like to love people the way Jesus loves people. You can try all day long and drive yourself crazy and eventually drive them crazy because you won't do it. All you can do is just fake it and grit your teeth and work harder, but not if you have been glorified, not if you're royalty, not if you're grafted to Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, not if there's something glory about you. And for every Christian, there's a glory about you. There's something about you that makes you different than all other creatures. There's no other creature, a whole new kind of creation. You've been grafted into the very life of Jesus. He became the way. He's the place. He's the way to that place. He is the way. He's the place. He's the truth. He's the life. And so he can say, because there is something royalty about you. There's a glory about you. You've been glorified. How have you been glorified? Christ in you, the hope of glory, because you've been yoked to Christ. There's a glory about you. And because there's a glory about you, he can say, love one another the same way I've loved you. Don't try to make it up. Don't go on your feelings. There's a glory about you, and that glory is your union with Christ. Love them the same way Christ has loved you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. How will they know that you're his disciples? Because of that. Because the unsaved can't do it. It's the impossible life. It's something supernatural about you. There's a glory about you. And therefore, what Jesus requires of you that sometimes may seem impossible is not impossible at all. It only seems impossible because you don't know who you are in Christ, because you haven't discovered who he is in you. Again, 1 John 4:17, as he is in this world, so also are you. See, what I can expect from royalty, let's just say in the secular world, what they're capable of doing, producing, is a lot different than what I expect from a pauper. If I need financial help or authority or changes to be made, laws be passed, what can be expected of you and I, royalty, because you've been yoked to Christ, the Prince of Peace? There's a glory about you. Therefore, he can say things to us like, love one another just like I've loved you. That's not a ridiculous statement. It's just what should be assumed. You with me? Because he said, you're now being glorified in Christ. Okay? That's fun stuff. Yeah, this is, so an example would be this, like, I got a report from something yesterday that's like, oh, that would sound like bad news, really bad news. Not about physical stuff, it's something else. And it's an ecclesiastical thing, not like something's wrong with my dog, something really important, but it's ecclesiastically. It was like bad news, and there was this conversation, everybody's kind of upset about it. I can't get upset about it. And then the thing happened today, like, that I can't explain to you. Air conditioner thing messed up, a door's wet, water's coming out of doorknobs upstairs, and this is last week. We need all those rooms, we can't. But you know what? None of that changes the truth about who he is. And therefore, none of that changes the truth about who I am. Because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, and he lives in me. And so there's a glory about me, and us royals just don't get upset about stuff like that. Because we know the resources of heaven are, you with me? Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.